You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, we're going to try and land man on the moon right now with Corey Parker and
talking,
Ian Healy.
We're talking about the Alterna Leaf. Redcliffe, you know, the sponsor on the chest of the Dolphins.
And, we might
want to talk again. Stop talking this crap.
just eavesdrop a little bit. Therapeutic goods association.
Come on.
Sort of started some action.
Corey, Heels, what are you doing? The greatest abomination in radio history. These boys.
Being conservative there.
Listen to Heels. Heels, get off the gear.
Corey. Well, how are we, boys? Third time lucky.
Just listening to you, mate. We thought you were just sitting around, just, I don't know, seeing dead
in a break. Someone finally pressed the right button.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the button presser, Brandy, but we've got you on. How are we?
We're good, Cos. We've actually heard a fair bit of your conversation. You weren't hearing us, but we've heard what you blokes have been talking about. I'm going to go straight to a Queensland side who were absolutely rudderless yesterday. And they were sitting on four wins coming into the game against the Sharks. If they win, they jump into third spot. They get five wins for the season. They were leaders after three rounds. They weren't beaten in their opening three rounds. Boy, but that was... the Cowboys were terrible yesterday.
Yeah, very ordinary, weren't they? Coming into that game, they were the best attacking team in the competition. But the one thing you can't hide or you can't sort of glaze over is the fact of how poor their defence is. Yes, they have won those games, as you mentioned, Brandy, but defensively has been absolutely just not where it needs to be, unacceptable. And when you come up against a side like the Sharks, who play such a diligent style of football, and you're not prepared to pay that sacrifice defensively, well, that's what happens. There's probably a concern also, I think, in regards to their middles. Laterally can get exposed quite a bit. And there's a conversation to be had about Tom Malolo. Like, he is playing 20 minutes, 25 minutes on average a game for $1 million? Like, they've got some serious decisions to make. Right across the park, they were poor defensively.
I'll give you some numbers now. 27 points a game is their defensive average. Eight games straight, they've conceded 18 points or more, and no team has conceded more tries straight down the hay diddle diddle this year than the Cowboys. That is not top four areas, dare I say, not even top eight areas. Like, you know, there's going to be games where they torch sides with their attack, but you just can't. You're not going to sustain, you know, you're not going to be anything come the end of the season with that sort of defensive record.
And when you're talking about their middle defence, the try of Tom Hazelton, who is, you know, he's athletic, he's a big, tall front rower, but he was made, it looked like he was, you know, one of the best centres in the game with a bit of footwork, and there was holes everywhere in the defensive line for the Cowboys.
It was Nane, wasn't it, who just didn't do his job, didn't close up, didn't believe in the system and didn't apply himself in that area. But you mentioned, Vossi, about how many tries are scored through the middle. There has to be a concern. I mean, McLean, I think he's 32 or 33 years of age. JT's just over 30. Granville, who plays in the middle, is 35. They've got Griffin Neame, who they've signed, obviously, to a long-term deal there. They need to make some decisions quick, smart.
And then, Brandy, it's Heels here.
Hello, mate.
G'day, Vossie. I want the captains to stand up here, the Cowboys captains. They're brand new, Cotter and Dearden. How else do you turn on-field attitude around in defence?
I don't know, Heels. I don't know where they get that from. That's, you know, Cotter... I don't think Cotter can do much more than what he's doing. Vossie, I remember in calling the game yesterday, did you say 32 tackles in the first half?
He was looking at
making 60.
In the half, in the first half.
Yeah, so 32 tackles in the first half. I don't think I don't think Reuben Cotter can do any more. And they are young captains, the Heels. I don't know. And Tommy Dearden, while he's a player that is wholehearted, I don't know if there's much can be said, and I don't think Tom can try any harder than he's trying.
He's an effort player. It's always apparent with him.
That could be their problems right there, because Todd's not getting anything done, and the captains are brand new, not saying anything at training. Like ones that are going to say, I need you better from you on the right edge, et cetera, et cetera, and stamp themselves right now.
Heels, we're all rugby league blokes, Brandy, myself, Corey. Yesterday we had a bit of a punch-on situation with Jack Hetherington and Reed Marnie in the tunnel.
What's going on
there? Does this sort of thing happen in cricket? Has ever been a little bit of punch-on action out the back that we don't get to see? Because the cameras don't follow them often all the way to the dressing room. And, of course, one team's normally out on the field. But at lunch or tea, does anyone ever, in your time, want to punch on?
There's only one that we shouldn't have seen, but we did get to see. Remember in South Africa, David Warner and Quinton de Kock. You know, in the dressing room on security vision, not broadcast vision. They had a little potential. What do you call it? A little melee.
Got a bit heated.
Yeah, he got heated. So that's the only one. I've never heard it before. But our tunnels are definitely separate anyway. There was one actually. Patrick Patterson came into our dressing room at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. The doors were right next to each other, but you'd get to those doors but separate way. But he came through our dressing room and said, "Tele B, we sort our problems out tomorrow." Right? And Bruce, so by the time we get into the dressing room, Bruce Reed is a mess. He's the 12th man. He's going, "Oh, what's been happening out there?" So that was one.
Boys, just on that with Hetherington and also Marnie. I mean, if you look at the vision, you would have thought that Hetherington was G'ing up, but then you sort of look at it a couple of times and he had the crazy eyes on, ready to go, didn't he? Will he have a case to answer there with the NRL? What will they do with that?
It wasn't a loving push, was it? It wasn't just a play push.
No. It should never have gotten.
It's unprofessional.
Unprofessional. Corey, if the Newcastle official standing around, there was other people milling around. If you were from Newcastle and Jack's waiting in the tunnel for Reed Marnie to come down the tunnel, and you would just pull him into the sheds, wouldn't you? You'd say, "Mate, get in the dressing room." Like, what are you standing around waiting for Reed Marnie for? Only bad can come of it. But the story's been blowing up. Yeah, it's massive. Now, remember do you remember the Greg Dowling, Kevin Tamati sideline effort? Now, that's a blow up. That's a punch up. Like, that's a brawl. Like, you know, this is it's not much, Corey. I think he gets fined. I don't think there's any suspension.
But just hypothetically, Reed Marnie kept his hands down. What if a player goes in there and then is wound up? Jack has started it. They're like, I just think unprofessional on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 out of 100 unprofessional. Yeah.
Well, I think Jack actually was waiting for that. Like, he gave him a fair shove, and he was waiting for Reed to retaliate, which Reed didn't. I don't think Reed was in the mood to be having a crack at Jack Hetherington with the crazy eyes on. But I think there may be something come of that with the NRL. But
there's so much to talk about, it was a massive weekend. Kalyn Ponga's injury doesn't look good. Newcastle, we said this morning, are a bottom four team without Kalyn Ponga. I think it's obvious. What Ponga's done up until yesterday, and whether he should have taken the field or not, is debatable, but he's picked up a new injury, and the foot injury can be serious, and he can be sitting on the sidelines for a long time. Newcastle go nowhere without Kalyn Ponga. Nowhere.
No, I agree very much so. We spoke to Kalyn Ponga in the pregame of Fox League, and he mentioned that hopefully I get through to half time, and that was referring to his hip injury. Like, he said, hopefully, so he didn't have the greatest conviction before the game had started that he was going to get there on his hip injury. But off the back of no Kalyn Ponga, you talk about bottom four teams and the Newcastle Knights. Well, the coaches, Adam O'Brien, he's been signed to a deal off the back of what we saw last year. But, Vossi, a bye is a long time in rugby league, and it keeps the flies off momentarily for a week. But back into the hot seat this week, Brad Arthur and Jason Demetriou.
Jason Dimitriak. Yes. He's just out of sight there for a week. Yeah. He went from the absolute fry pan, just not a word, and then he just sits back and watches Brad Arthur cop it in the neck and others, you know, poor old Desi, 0-6, Des. Someone sent me a picture of Des the other day. He does actually look like one of the Oompa Loompas in Willy Wonka. he's just going downhill. He's still got the hair, the look on his face. When's the last time you saw Des smile?
More than 12 games ago.
Some journo said to him at the end of the game that, oh, that was a remarkable game, and he's just piped up, remarkable? That wasn't remarkable. That was he just ripped him a second one for the journo, just throwing out a toss-away line. Like, that was a remarkable game. You know, like 64 points scored in the first 56 minutes, none in the last 24. That's remarkable. Mm. Like, that's unusual. But Des was in no mood to take any sort of lines there. Desi boys.
Heels, we went through the IPL scores this morning, and over the weekend, Travis Head and his opening partner for Hyderabad scored 131 off the first six overs. We had a listener text in, and he said, well, maybe they should just save the cash on the bowlers and just have a bowling machine at one end. And, like, it's a tough gig for a bowler, isn't it?
Really tough. And I think we'll see the next emergence in the game will be the bowlers get back on their own. That, you know, 89 off 32, Travis Head. That's unbelievable to beat Ricky Ponting's Delhi Capitals. They've made 266, 277 and 287 in the last three matches.
Crazy.
So, and McGurk, then you had Jake Fraser-McGurk go off for the Delhi Capitals himself. 18 balls for 65. So,
yeah,
the bowlers are missing their Yorkers way too often. They're bowling a bit straight too, I reckon, because they're getting hit on the offside as well as the leg side. Bowl a little more consistently. Wide of off, maybe. Yorkers, wide of off. Odd slower ball and really get a miss hit going. So, yeah, I think the bowlers aren't coping well at all.
Tough Ian Healy, for Corey Parker.
For $3 million, I could try and get your Yorkers straight anyway.
Mitchell Stark, another three overs, one for 55. He's having a hell of an IPL series. Heels and Corey, you've got to entertain your audience. We've got ours and maybe we'll, somewhere in the player draft, we'll pick up some of yours
let's pick some of ours again.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Look forward to it, fellas.
Great at all.
See you, boys.
Enjoyed the first 5 minutes, too. It was great. See you, boys.